The theme for this morning's Mass is do not neglect to do good. Before we turn to that theme, let me just say a word about today's saints. We are again honoring martyrs today. We honored the martyr Saint Blaise a couple of days ago. Yesterday we honored the martyr Saint Agatha, virgin martyr of the early church. Today we're honoring the 26 martyrs of Nagasaki, Japan. In the Universal Church, this feast is known as the Feast of St. Paul Miki and his companions. But here in the Philippines, it's the Feast of San Pedro Bautista, Paul Miki, and their companions. And the reason why that is because Pedro Bautista served here in the Philippines. He's a Spanish Franciscan, but he was in the Philippines before he went to Japan. In fact, a little interesting history here. If you've ever been up to up in Quezon City, there's that section known as San Francisco del Monte. There's a very old church there, and it's the church of San Pedro Bautista. In fact, it's a minor basilica of Pedro Bautista. He's the founder of that parish. So if you go up there, they say it's one of the oldest churches in the whole country now. And he founded that parish. He didn't call it San Pedro Bautista. He just happened to be the parish priest there. I think it was in honor of Our Lady. But after he was then assigned to Japan and was martyred there, then they later changed the name of that parish in his honor. So we honor Pedro Bautista and Paul Miki. Now, Pedro Bautista was a Spanish Franciscan, but Paul Miki was a Japanese Jesuit. So that's why we usually honor him, because it's the Japanese martyrs, but foreigners and Japanese. Japan, as you know, has many martyrs, and San Lorenzo Ruiz was martyred in Japan, but that was a little bit later. These 26 martyrs of Nagasaki were earlier. Okay, so we have chosen for our theme today, do not neglect to do good, which sounds pretty good. I mean, who could argue with that? Who could argue against doing good? This is the kind of slogan you could see in any secular office place, or even government office, or anyone's bumper sticker could say, do good, be good, don't neglect to do good. During the pandemic, this sentiment has often been repeated, both in the church and in the secular world. Even though we're all suffering hardships, let's help one another through the difficulty. So let's be good to one another. It's a kind of positive sentiment. We even have it in our oratio. We're still using the old version of the oratio imperata, because we haven't figured out how to get the new longer version prepared for our chapel. But anyway, both versions have this request: give us the grace in this trying time to work for the good of all and to help those in need. So we ask God to help us to do good, which points us in the direction where I think the liturgy would take us. It's everyone would say it's important to do good, other than the most hardened, most selfish, most bitter person. Almost everybody would agree it's right to do good to one another. But the Christian understanding of doing good is much, much richer. And this is what we get if we look at this theme in the context of today's readings. We can start by looking at what the letter to the Hebrews is telling us about doing good. This is the very last chapter of the great letter to the Hebrews. Through Jesus, let us continually offer God a sacrifice of praise, that is the fruit of lips that confess his name. So the first good we are to do is in honor of God, the sacrifice of praise, to honor God in a way that goes beyond what would come naturally to us. It's in a sacrificial way, in a loving way. continually offer God a sacrifice of praise. That's the first thing. So doing good is in the context of doing good for God, in honor of God. Then it says, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have. God is pleased by sacrifices of that kind. So there's the sacrifice of praise in honor of God. There's the sacrifice in honor of our neighbor. Love of God and love of neighbor. Now this gives us a little bit better understanding of what we're talking about here. Doing good is actually love. And it's sacrificial love. Doing good in our limited perspective can strike us as something that we'll do when we can. If we have a little extra money in our pocket, we can share. We can provide out of our surplus. It's very easy for rich people to give a little money away because they have plenty of money. There's no sacrifice there, and they do good. Okay. But faith calls us to something more than simply doing what is easy, doing what is just giving away what we don't need anyway. God is pleased with sacrifices of this kind. Speaking of sacrifice, makes us turn to today's gospel, in which the apostles have been doing good. Well, this is after they have spent their energy doing good. They didn't neglect to do good. They were sent out and they did it. They went out, they drove out demons, they proclaimed the gospel, they called people to repentance, they come back, and Jesus sees that they're worn out. They're tired. They've been doing good and now they have to stop doing good. So it seems. And so he says, come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. It's important that we understand we can't do all the good that needs to be done. There's always more good to be done than we can do. Anyone who's ever done charitable works knows there are always more people in need than the resources that you have to provide for them. Those of you who are involved in our outreaches know this. You have to designate the recipients, otherwise you'll be overwhelmed with people looking for help. If you don't have a system for limiting the numbers, you'll be surrounded by a crowd of people who have real needs, serious needs. Just go down to PGH, or go to any government health center, and you'll see more people in need than there is resources to help them. So the point of Jesus saying, come away by yourselves and rest a while, one of the points is you can't keep doing this. You can't do everything that needs to be done. It's not your job to do more good than God expects you to do. Do not neglect to do good, but don't take on doing good that God has not assigned to you. You are not the savior of the world. Don't have a Messiah complex, as these psychologists call it. The Messiah complex. People think that they're supposed to save everybody all the time, and they deplete themselves doing good. That's not good. We also have to do good to ourselves. So they go off to a deserted place. The plan gets foiled by the people who are hungry for the word, who want to know Jesus. They get there, they get to the so-called deserted place before the apostles do. So it's not deserted, it's crowded with people. And Jesus sees a vast crowd. The natural reaction, and probably this was the reaction of the apostles, would be, let's go to a different deserted place. This one's too crowded. I don't want to get involved in this big crowd. Jesus' response is different. His heart was moved with pity for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. This is God's response to seeing the good that must be done. We have limits to what good we can do. God does not have limits. We have to rest. God does not rest, not in the way that we have to. He sets aside a day of rest for us, not for him. He also shows us that there are times when we must go beyond our legitimate need for rest. Sometimes we must sacrifice that legitimate need for the good of others. This takes a discerning heart to know when the good that must be done is God's will for us and when it's not. There's always more good to be done, and we're always called not to neglect to do good, but how do we know when we've done enough and we need a rest, and how do we know when, even though we're tired, we should still keep going? That's why we have to listen to God, be attentive to God. Jesus, who told them, let's go away by ourselves, also said, let's not go away by ourselves. We're going to take care of these people. They're like sheep without a shepherd. Sacrificial love is ready to give. Which brings us back where we started, the martyrs. The martyrs are our models of people who did not neglect to do good, who shared what they had, and God is pleased by sacrifices of this kind. The greatest sacrifice we can make is lay down our lives for others, lay down our lives the way the martyrs have. And this is not simply an experience of the early church or of ancient history. There are martyrs in our day, every day. I just saw a note yesterday. It was put out by Bishop Barron in his daily reflections. He was making a comment on yesterday's gospel. It was the martyrdom of John the Baptist, if you remember. But Bishop Barron spoke about martyrdom is a characteristic of the church in every age. And he said that in our times, in the 21st century, there's a very wide range of how many martyrs there are every year. The high end is 100,000 martyrs every year. And the low end is 8,000 martyrs every year. So somewhere between those two numbers is the number of martyrs this year, 2021 or 2020. So he broke it down. He said, well, there's either a Christian being martyred for the faith every 5 minutes or every hour. When I read that, I said, oh my goodness. Every hour somebody dies for the faith in our times, makes the sacrifice of his life or her life for the faith. So it's good to know that that's happening, and it's good to know that this is a sign of the kind of sacrifice that God calls us to. Not that we have to march into the danger zone, unless God calls us to, but we have to recognize that sometimes God calls us to sacrifice in a heroic way. So do not neglect to do good, yes, but don't leave that admonition to do good in the natural level, because when we get tired, we'll stop doing good. Or when we feel threatened, we will stop doing good. We can't do any more good. It's not my problem. That natural response has to be purified and transcended by the power of faith. And that's why we keep returning to the example of the martyrs. The martyrs show us that sometimes we are called to do a good that costs us more than we can afford. Not just giving from our surplus wealth. We're giving what costs us, what is painful to us, even the price of our own blood. Let's conclude by looking back at the letter to the Hebrews. This is near the very end of the letter. There is a prayer here, which is quite beautiful. May the God of peace, this is a prayer for us, may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, the shepherd, that's Jesus, of course, who was taking care of the sheep in the gospel, by the blood of the eternal covenant, furnish you with all that is good, that you may do his will. How can anybody do good to the point of sacrifice? Because God provides for us so that we can do good. That's the point of this prayer. May he furnish you with all that is good, that you may do his will. If it's his will that you take a rest, well then take a rest. And that is his will every night, every Sunday. And there, we have to take regular rests. So it's his will. But if it's his will that you sacrifice, well then sacrifice and he will provide. Even to the point of martyrdom. God provided for every one of these 26 martyrs of Japan. He provided for them, made it possible for them to do good. May God furnish you with all that is good, that you may do his will. May he carry out in you what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ. May he carry out in you what is pleasing to him. See who's doing the good here? God. God is at work in us. So that's why we don't have to take on the burden of doing every possible good we can think of. And we don't have to be afraid of doing a good that goes beyond our strength, because God is the one doing it. Be at peace. The God of peace. This is not the God of intimidation, or the God of condemnation, or the God of impossible demands. This is the God of peace, and he provides. He furnishes us with all that is good, that we may do his will. He carries out in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? A beautiful prayer that I think puts together this theme and this liturgy. Yes, do not neglect to do good, but don't think that the burden of doing good is all on you. God provides so that we can do good even more. God does what is good through us if we open our hearts to him.